Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everyone. We're excited to be here, all my fellow stallions. I'm so excited that you've continued to join us. As you can see, we're all quarantined in our own homes, but we're still excited to be able to talk about legacies with you all, especially this episode, because it was a doozy. I'm your host, Haley Graves, and man, it is good to be here and talk with you all. We still have Ms. Shiksha Mittani with me. Go ahead and say what's up, Shiksha.
What's up, everyone? Hope you're staying safe.
And then don't forget, everyone, we have a new panelist, which sorry that we're not in our normal studio and this is a little different, but guys, Michael is back with us as well.
Hey, guys. So glad to be back, even though we're quarantined.
I know. Crazy times. Make sure you're washing your hands, just getting that out there, you know, just really beating it into everyone. But with that, we're going to start talking about this episode. Guys, give me your thoughts. Shiksha, take it away.
This was an interesting episode. There were things that I didn't love that happened in the episode, but overall, it was an enjoyable episode. I liked seeing Dark Josie. It was just different. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Michael, what are your thoughts?
I think that it was a great episode. I love Dark Josie and getting to see her like fully be Dark Josie through the entire episode. I always enjoy the team ups that everybody's, you know, doing. And it was a fun episode for me. Like, I enjoyed it.
I think I lean with you. I overall enjoyed this episode. I actually thought they did a phenomenal, it was a really elaborate episode. There was a lot of just kind of grand gestures, which is a little different than what they've been doing for me. And I liked the team ups and the pairings too. I think no one enjoys being Dark Josie more than Josie herself, than Kaylee Bryant, because you can tell she's been talking about being this dark character for so long. I didn't think it was going to last this long, but you can tell she's living it, loving it, and she's doing a great job at being this dark character. So with that, we're going to start off, you guys, same structure as our normal shows. We're going to break it down by a bunch of our pairings. We're going to start off talking about some of the smaller storylines, and then we'll go into, obviously, the merge. It finally happened-ish. Well, it really happened, just not in the way we expected. And then, of course, Shiksha has news and gossip for us like she does every week. We'll also do our merge segment, so make sure you're thinking of your favorite duo and your least favorite duo. And then we'll do our predictions. So same thing, guys. Stay with us. We appreciate you. With that, guys, all right, let's start talking about Roth and Landon, because I don't know about y'all, but Shiksha, we talked about this so much that we didn't understand what they were doing with Roth, and I still don't, because he's dead. I'm just going to throw it out there. Shiksha, tell me first, what did you think of this whole situation with Roth and Landon? And we can kind of get into some details on it too.
Unless they find a way to bring Roth back, I'm going to be extremely disappointed, just because they've basically been killing off this character since day one of this season. So, and he was such a big part of season one. So it was surprising. And I kind of wonder why this has been happening. But yeah, if he's truly actually dead by the end of this season, he's gone, I'll be very disappointed. I don't know if you guys realize, but in the beginning of the episode, they said that, What's the other werewolf's name?
They said Jed.
Yeah, they said Jed and the werewolves are out looking for Josie, and they said Caleb and the vampires are looking for Josie. So why is it that Jed's leading the group of werewolves? Wasn't all of season one about how Raph beating Jed to be alpha?
No, and you're right. It's like Jed has completely taken over that alpha spot. I mean, Roth hasn't exactly been there. And I think everyone kind of remembers what he went through at the end, right? It was at the end of season one when he was pretty much stuck being a werewolf. So I think everyone's just kind of still being mindful of that and knowing that he's working through some things. But that is an interesting point to make, because technically right now he's not a werewolf, right?
Yeah. No.
Mm-hmm. Like, can werewolves be dead?
You're right, but they don't know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, because we don't really have any confirmation if he's turned since then. All we know is that he was attacked when he was leaving his dad's house, and it was the necromancer minions. We just see the people in the red robes, which we now can associate with the necromancer. And basically, he was stabbed. He has these flashbacks throughout the episode that ultimately leads him to realize that he's the one who died at this spot in the woods. And now he's basically a necromancer minion. Michael, what are your thoughts on this?
I think that, like you said, Shiksa, they have been kind of writing him out from the beginning of the season. Like, they started the season with him being in wolf form, stuck there, and now he's dead. And I don't know how they would bring him back.
Yeah.
And I just also feel like his storyline, this is the most interesting thing that has happened to him in a while.
Yeah.
But he's dead. So it's like, what do you do now? Like, he doesn't even have a heartbeat. And, you know, I don't know.
I think for me, it's either, I mean, this is almost cliche to say that it's either going to go left or it's going to go right with his story. They're either going to write him off this way because he's already dead. And so ultimately, you can expect them to figure out a way to defeat the necromancer. And by defeating the necromancer, he would then go along with him and be off the show. Or I think potentially, by kind of actually giving some substance to his storyline, that might be more of an incentive to keep him around, because let's be honest, at this point, they can save everyone.
Yeah.
We have Diamond Devin in the chat saying Raph was completely robbed as a character. And I agree completely. Mm-hmm. And Billie Jean Girl 24 said, does this mean that Hope and Raph won't happen now since he's dead?
I don't know what? I think we just have to give up on Hope and Raph at this point. As much as none of us wanted to, I think we just are going to have to give up on him. When we get to predictions, though, I kind of have one around this storyline that might provide some hope. Never get that. All right, Shiksa, before we move on, don't you have a message for all of our listeners since you're in the live chat?
I do. Guys, just want to quickly say thank you for being here, chatting with us, despite the coronavirus and all the crazy going on. The fact that you're still here chatting with us means so much. While you're here, make sure to please hit the thumbs up button and to subscribe, and keep chatting because I'm reading out your comments. And if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, make sure to hit the 5 stars so that we can keep coming back and talking about the shows that we all love. So thanks, guys. Love you.
Yes, thanks, Shiksa. Don't forget, guys, she's going to be bringing some news and gossip in a little bit. All right, guys. So from that point, we pretty much wrap up Roth and Landon. They didn't have a ton to do with the main storyline here. We do know that Landon ends up helping with Plan B, which we will get to in a second. But first, we know that they leave with Roth ends up stabbing Landon with Cupid's arrow, which we know is a part of the prophecy. So I don't know what that exactly means. We know that that was pretty much the Achilles for a phoenix, and that's where those two kind of left things off. Roth definitely tried to warn him, saying like, hey, I can't leave. Hey, the necromancer has control. Like, I'm sorry. And Landon, just being naive like he always is, didn't listen.
But is he dead?
Go ahead, Shiksa.
You guys think that he's actually dead? Is he gone from the show? They're not going to kill Raph and Landon, right?
I don't think Landon's dead. I think potentially the Cupid's arrow maybe could somehow put a pause on his powers. That's kind of the only thing that I can think of, or maybe it somehow takes them away. I don't really know too much of my Phoenix knowledge.
I think he's dead right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's only just learning about his powers. So for them to take away his powers doesn't make sense either, because we don't really fully know
Yeah, I mean, all we pretty much know is that this golden arrow has something to do with the prophecy, and it has something to do with Landon and the fact of it hurting him. And we know that who wants to hurt him is the necromancer. So we're going to talk to their little band of bad brothers here for a minute. So the necromancer, he's been kind of looming this whole season. We haven't really known why or really what he's up to, but he's there. He still has Chad, who we can definitely appreciate the comic relief always. And so Chad, the necromancer, and then now kind of going off path a little bit here, but when Josie comes back around, because she's also involved in this little dark crew, she is basically saying that this is going to be the merge day. It's their birthday. They're not 22, but she wants to speed this thing along. So she says the merge is going to happen. She threatens Lizzie, basically saying, hey, I'm going to kill all your friends if you're not there by 8 o'clock to merge with me. And in to take her more seriously, Lizzie went to Alyssa Chang for hope, because Alyssa Chang has that like golden or that ball prophecy thing. Mm-hmm. And she kills Alyssa. What were your thoughts when Josie killed Alyssa? Go ahead, Michael.
I didn't expect her to be brought back so quickly, but I was shocked. Like, I was like, wait, so they just made Josie a killer? Like, just yeah. Like
that? Just a snap of the fingers.
Like, she went from just being Dark Josie, but like, we still can get her back. Now she's a murderer. And that, there's implications to that, even though Alyssa's alive or sort of alive again, there's lasting implications to Josie being a murderer now.
Yeah.
Was it after that Josie killed Alyssa that she became a puppet for the necromancer, or was she already a puppet?
That's a good point. But I think my honest thoughts are that Josie took Alyssa because I think Josie kind of knew what was going on. I think she took Alyssa and was like, hey, necromancer, I'll do what you want. Let's work together. Bring this girl back. I feel kind of bad. And now she's like basically put Alyssa under the necromancer spell. Okay. But that is a good theory about that she's actually been in cahoots the whole time.
Well, okay. So I'm on the line. I'm not sure what
it is. Same.
But let's just assume that she wasn't under the thumb of the necromancer and that Josie killing her is what caused that.
Yep.
Then there has to be a way to bring back Alyssa and Raph, or are they going to kill off both characters again?
We're going to get to predictions.
I know. This came to me right now. I had to
write it down. We're going to get to predictions. Michael, what are your thoughts on the Alyssa Chang murder?
I mean, I, like I said before, I think that it was shocking. And the implications of Josie being a murderer is heavy. And I also think that, well, I'll save it for predictions.
Okay. Yeah. So we know that now Josie is in cahoots with the necromancer. And this is pretty much just all Dark Josie. Meanwhile, to briefly touch on, Alaric and Caleb went into the subconscious box again, right? That's where they went. And they're like on this hunt to find an elixir. And Caleb turns into a professor called Dr. Hawkins, which was pretty entertaining to see Chris Lee in that role. Guys, tell me your thoughts of this storyline of Alaric, because to me, the episode could have done without it. It just kind of felt like the writers were like, so how are we going to fit them in? Let's just put them in the box. That's how it came out to me. Shiksha, what were you thinking?
Okay, so it was just an amusing sight that was happening. Very much unnecessary. We really didn't need to see it. But I think that the writers just don't necessarily know how to handle Alaric anymore, because they've kind of been butchering his character for a while now, right? Because at the end of season one, he was... you know, he was no longer headmaster. He was kicked out, and now he's back. But then he sent all these kids to the prison world, and now the kids are like, we don't need you, let's send you in the box. It's just like, is he in charge really? Yeah. I don't know what I think about Alaric anymore.
Let's be honest, Hope is and has been calling the shots around here. Michael, what are your thoughts?
I would agree. I think that it was a nice idea to have a Lark's character be in Legacies in general, but as the show has unfolded and the vibe has kind of solidified, it's become more difficult to kind of figure out what his purpose is in the show. Like, yeah, he's the headmaster, but like all these kids with all these powers, and then he's just like this guy who has a drinking problem and like it's just there, and then sometimes he's not there. But the storyline in the box was cute. Like, it was completely unnecessary. Like, they could have just put them in the box and we didn't have to see what was going on. I think Caleb's accent was horrible, but it was funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I would love for anyone watching along with this right now, I would just love to know your thoughts actually on what is your take on Alaric as a character on the show. Do you think that the writers are slowly phasing him out, or do you think that Legacies can't even really exist without him? I'm really curious to know your thoughts there. And so now we will move on to our mini super squad. We had Lizzie, MG, and Hope working together this episode. So basically, Lizzie, and I have to point out the one thing I did like about this episode, and it struck me immediately in the first scene when we see Dark Josie dressed in all black, and then they shoot to the shot of Lizzie, and what is she wearing? Her blonde hair, her white shirt, like she's the light in the darkness of this all. And I really found it interesting for them to choose it to be Lizzie, because then we know later on in the episode, they bring up the whole hero talk again, and it's really centered and focused around Lizzie. So are we thinking that Lizzie is the key piece to this, or do we still think that Hope is going to end up being the one that saves the day? We know in this episode, Hope came up with the ultimate plan to save the present and to save the moment. But what are y'all thinking about this dynamic? Shikshak, go.
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 You know, I kind of think that they're making it a Lizzie and Hope show. It's not Lizzie, it's not Hope, it's together. Because ever since the video game episode, they've been throwing them together in a lot more scenes. And they've been saving the day together. And I personally love it. I love their dynamic. I love their chemistry together as the heroes. So, yeah, I think they balance each other really well. And I kind of hope that that's what they're going for.
I like that perspective. I really do. Michael, what are your thoughts?
I would agree. I think that they've tested the waters and discovered that Lizzie and Hope, that dynamic is probably the most conducive to what they're doing with the show, and that's probably where they're heading, and with a few of the other characters kind of rounding out the show itself. And it's surprising, as we've been talking and kind of figuring, oh, it seems like they're phasing out Raph, it seems like they're phasing out Alaric, seems like they're, like, I could see that being the case, even though it's like a lot of people, I could see it kind of happening to where it is this more centric to Lizzie and Hope and Landon perhaps and MG. Like, I think that those core four characters will be what the show will center around moving forward.
And I mean, I like that perspective. And the one thing though that the writers have not been moving away from is this Lizzie and MG storyline. No matter how much Shiksha and I have begged and pleaded and talked about it, Brett Matthews and gang will not move away from the Lizzie and MG storyline. And in this episode though, I gotta admit, I fell right back into the trap, not even necessarily the trap of them as a potential item, but their friendship. I really, really do love the dynamic of the two of them when they're at their best, because at the core, they are such a good, just little pair for one another. And they know each other so well that it's fun to see, no matter what either one of them are going through, they know how to get each other to be the best version of themselves. And we definitely see that in this episode, because Lizzie pretty much realizes, hey, I'm not going to defeat her. I gotta say though, guys, I was cracking up at the things that Lizzie was saying. Like, whoever has been writing her character specifically has been doing such a good job, because the little comic relief one-liners, how she called Josie Dark Vader, or Dark, like, I think it was something along the lines of Dark Vader, and then she called her Lord, like, it basically was an allude to Lord Voldemort, but right. She like put Josie in there. And I was like, gosh, they're really clever. But what did y'all think about Lizzie and MG? Obviously, I said I was a fan of their little dynamic today. Tell me what you thought as you were watching. Michael, tossing it to you.
I have been a fan. I've never gotten off the train of Lizzie and MG. And, you know, like I towed the line for a bit. And then last episode, they won me completely back over with that scene where he was like, I'm never going to not be a soft place for you to land. And I was like, I love it. And then this episode, I just think that they're end game. Like, I think that they are the couple that we're going to be rooting for the duration of this show. I think that it looked like it might have been Hope and Landon, but the romance is going to end up being Lizzie and MG. That we're following, you know, with all of our hopes and dreams. And I think that the kiss was beautiful. Like, I know that she was trying to say it's free. It was for you, MG, but like, really, she wanted that kiss too.
I agree that. I think that they completely hit the nail on the head in that scene with those two characters reacting the way they did. I loved how when they were in the car together, because Lizzie was gonna leave, I thought it was really hilarious. I genuinely thought that they had left. I thought that they were on the road together because MG would do that for her. But to find out that they were just still sitting in the car, nerding out over comic books and deciding what kind of superhero Lizzie was actually going to be, I thought that that moment was just so cute and really played to both characters' strengths. But they did such a good job of keeping each character true to who they are still. Shiksha, what were your thoughts?
I have so many thoughts on this. So, you know, I've never been a fan of Lizzie and MG, like, since day one, just been really upset about that relationship. And I don't know, like, if they're really going to be endgame, then they have to do a lot of work to convince me. Because, yeah, they're nerding out, but that's more like friends, not like a couple, right? So, yeah, they connect, they do connect, but only at that friendship level. So, and the kiss, I'm sorry, was not beautiful. It felt so forced to me. I'm just not there. The chat is calling them Mizzy, which I think is actually cute, but I'm not 100% convinced. The chat is saying, let's see. Diamond Devin says they balance each other out. I love how MG tricked her into being the hero and her reaction was amazing. I can agree with that. Billie Jean Girl 24 said, Lizzie kissed MG. It's more than friends. She likes him. She just won't admit it. I don't agree.
Sorry. I tiptoe the line of, I think Lizzie is in denial for herself because I don't think MG is necessarily the guy that she thought that she would go for or the guy she would end up with. And so I think that those are kind of issues that she's had within herself, but we're seeing so much character growth in Lizzie that I would lean more with Michael and the fact that I think the writers are going to take us on a beautiful journey of these two being such good friends, MG always being by her side, always having a soft spot for her. And we're going to just continue to watch Lizzie Saltzman grow as a person and becoming more of a selfless person to get to a place where I think she could be in a successful relationship and a relationship that MG deserves, because for whatever reason, the writers will not give MG love. And the only thing I can think of is that they're just holding out for this character development of Lizzie.
And you might be right, and I'm not going to be upset if that happens. Yeah. So Logan Knight says, the Mizzy kiss was more for MG than Lizzie, plus it would be cheap and feel forced if they automatically had Lizzie have feelings for MG when she made it very clear she feels nothing for him. So, yeah, and Erica says, Lizzie and MG make good friends. They balance each other out.
This is going to be the ride that I think we're all going to stick around to see, which is what Michael was saying, because this is kind of the ride that I was hoping we would get when this season started with Landon and Hope. And when all the memories came back up from the Malivore pit, I was hoping they were going to take us on more of a journey with Hope and Landon. And those are the two that to me are kind of just stuck in the mud of this place of, are we meant to be? Are we not meant to be? Are we meant to be? Like, there's no real growth in their relationship. Whereas to me, Lizzie and MG, like Michael said. So not only though, we got to still talk about Hope and her massive plans that she always comes up with because she's brains and brawn. So Hope basically they have this plan A, which is the merge is going to happen. When the merge happens, they would hope that Lizzie would come out victorious, and in doing so, they would be able to still have Josie's body, and they'd be able to somehow extract Dark Josie, Good Josie, and put Good Josie back in her own body. Voila, everything was going to be fine. That was a bad plan. I was about to curse. That plan was just so, I was like, no, it just wasn't going to work at all. So I'm really glad that Hope ended up coming up with plan B, which I didn't see plan B coming, not going to lie. When the merge happened, I remember that from Vampire Diaries, when Joe and Kai were kind of laying there unconscious. We knew that they were going to be in their subconsciouses fighting one another. But I did not expect all of that. I thought in this moment, Alaric put on a good performance, because I was like, oh shit. Like, oh, there went the cuss word anyway. I was like, Lizzie is gone. Like, I was just like, wow, what a performance, Alaric. I totally believed you. And then we come to find out that MG and Hope actually put Hope in the vampirism and put her in Josie's mind. So Hope is now there. Meanwhile, Lizzie, they attached her to Landon. So when she died, she was going to be resurrected because of the Phoenix. This writing to me, bravo, bravo. I was very entertained as a fan of this show. Guys, tell me what your thoughts about the two plans. Go ahead, Shiksha.
This is just a pure example of why this show is so great, because they always tend to do things that are unexpected and things that are just really creative. I didn't see that coming at all. But when it happened, I'm like, that was so smart. Like, yes, it was so cool, you know? And I like that they left it as a surprise until the end, so that we just didn't know what was going to happen. I don't know. I loved it. The writers always do a great job.
It almost gave me like Bonnie Bennett vibes. Like, that would have been like a move that Bonnie Bennett totally would have pulled on everyone to save the day. Like, that's, I still get so much of Bonnie out of Hope. I don't know why, but okay. Michael, what were you thinking?
I like that comparison, because I would agree. I think that the writing was spectacular on this episode, because there were so many twists that I couldn't have expected. I did not predict it at all that they would tie Landon to Lizzie and bring her back like that. That was, and but I also was surprised that Alyssa Chang died and then was resurrected. Like, I was just very surprised. I was so surprised that Raph killed Landon. Like, there was a lot that happened in this episode. I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. I think that the plan was brilliant, completely unexpected. I think that, you know, it allowed for each character to have their hero moment, because we got to see Lizzie be the hero. We also got to see Hope be the hero. And through this plan, we got to see Landon play his heroic part as well. Like, I think that it was great writing.
Yeah, no, I definitely, like, I wrote it down, because, you know, I always like writing down their little quotes, and like how they were like, heroes save the day even when it's hard. And that's kind of been an underlying theme, I feel like, more than once, not even just in this episode, but in this season, that they're really honing in on. And so, I mean, with that, we just kind of were at a almost pivotal point. This episode got me really excited for where they're going to take the rest of this season, because there's a lot up in the air. We don't know what's going on with Landon, as he has the Cupid's arrow in his heart. Dark Josie is obviously the more powerful one taken over, but they keep giving us flashes of Good Josie still inside, which gives us all some hope. We have Hope in Landon's relationships and the balances. Like, there's just so much going on that I'm just sitting here like, okay, I'm excited for whatever they have in store for us. So guys, is there anything else that you want to touch on? Anything in the chat that people are talking about they want us to bring up?
Yes. So first of all, the eyeball. Now we know the eyeball
has been connected. We knew the eyeball had been connected to the people in the red hoods. And then so this episode, it just really tied it all together.
Yeah, they finally revealed that. And the chat wants to know if the if Lizzie was tied to Landon, and Landon's probably dead now. Is Lizzie dead now? I don't think so. I think it was just like a one-time link.
It was temporary.
Didn't they say that she took a potion? And so the potion is what linked her to him. So I'm sure once the one death was over, then that kind of set.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
So, okay, well, now it's about that time. Shiksha, give us your news and gossip. AfterBuzz TV news and gossip.
All right, guys. Tonight's news is, let's talk about Alyssa Chang. The actress who plays Alyssa Chang is Olivia Liang. And she's actually going to be playing the lead role in a new CW show called Kung Fu. It's set in the 1970s. This show sees a Chinese-American woman called Nikki Chen in a quarter-life crisis taking a life-changing trip to a Chinese monastery before returning to her hometown with her newfound martial arts skills, which she then uses those skills to fight for justice in her own community. The actress posted about it on Insta with a really long caption, but part of it read, "It's an absolute honor to be Nikki, to tell an Asian American story, and to be part of the furthering of representation." It sounds so cool. I'm definitely interested, and I'll for sure watch the pilot at least. Let me know in the comments if you guys are interested in the show.
See, and I had seen this news, and that's what initially this episode, why I thought Alyssa Chang was dead. I was like, oh, that's how she's going to be done with the show, because I knew that she was taking on this new venture as an actress. And so I was like, oh, I guess she's going to be done with the show. And then when they killed her this one time, I was like, all right, bye. And then they brought her back. So who knows with that?
But then maybe she's actually dead because the actress can't be in the show anymore. I don't know.
I don't know either. But we'll get to predictions quickly. What else you got?
Lastly, just a reminder that episode 19 is a musical episode. It's coming up. I just want to know, how excited are you guys about the musical episode? Do you like musical episodes? Is it not for you? The episode is actually going to be a tribute to the originals and Vampire Diaries. So I'm actually very intrigued to see what they do to bring back those shows.
I'm intrigued. I'm not a musical person. Never
have. Oh my God.
I'm not a fan of musical episodes either, but
we will balance each other out then. I'm going to go into the episode with an open mind because I've enjoyed when they've incorporated music and singing in Legacy's episodes. I know how good Chris Lee is. So I definitely will like the episode, I'm sure. I just really struggle with musicals. I'd rather you talk at me than sing at me. that's just my opinion. And so guys, next up, we're going to go into our special segment, which is The Merge. And that basically, this episode said it all. What happens in The Merge, you combine and one of you comes out victorious or not. And so in this episode, we're going to talk about, let us know your favorite duo and then your least favorite duo if a merge were to happen. I'll kick it off because I don't want y'all to steal mine, and I'm just going to be really obvious here. Mine is Lizzie and Hope. We talked about them. They're kind of this girl power duo that, to me, every week I look forward to what kind of battles they're going to fight together next. So to me, they're still my favorite two little queens working together. All right, Shiksha, your turn.
You know I love Lizzie and Hope. That's why you went first. That was my favorite. I'm just going to stick with it, okay? Oh, and I liked Dark Josie and the Necromancer. I thought they were funny together, so.
Okay. All right, Michael, you're up.
All right, since you guys are saying that, I'm just going to say Lizzie and MG, just for all the reasons that we said earlier. I love them. I just like them.
I'm okay. Not there yet.
Michael, staying with you, we'll come back around. Who is your worst duo?
The worst duo to me of this episode was Landon and Raph. Just because I feel like Landon should not be as naive as he is still. Like, he should know better by now. And, you know, for him to not be listening to, like, Raph was telling him what was happening. And he was like, nah, we're in this together. And I'm like, guy, come on. Smarten up.
You know what, though? I feel like if Hope had been there, she would have seen it coming. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
Who's your worst?
My worst was actually Hope and Lizzie. They're twin sisters, you know? And Lizzie was so afraid about dying this episode.
Wait. You said Hope and Lizzie. You mean Josie and Lizzie?
Josie and Lizzie, yes.
Make sure I was like...
Yeah, thank you. Josie and Lizzie, just because they are twin sisters, they're supposed to love each other over any and everybody else. Lizzie has done a lot of self-growth in the last season, but she was, again, just so worried about dying. She was even thinking about running away when her sister is clearly in trouble. She was giving up on her twin sister, and Hope is the one who found a way around it. Like, what? You know, that was my thought.
I like your point, but I'm going to make mine short and sweet. Mine was also Raph and Landon. Michael pretty much said exactly everything that I was thinking. They just didn't do it for me this episode. So, all right, guys. Now, let me know what people in the chat are saying.
All right. So Diamond Devin said Lizzie and Hope were the best, so he agrees. We have Mamba Never Dead says favorite is also Hope and Lizzie. Bruce Fairchild, Lizzie, Hope, and Good Josie. All right. Well, we didn't really see Good Josie this week. Logan Knight said my best duo was Dark Josie and Hope because they got to fight like Harry Potter and Voldemort. So I was geeking out. Oh my God, yes, that did go through my mind as well. And worst duo was MG and Lizzie because it feels forced. I agree with Logan Knight. And Laura LeFou says the worst was Landon and Raph. And yeah.
So we pretty much agree. Yeah, that scene between Dark Josie and Hope was so cool. I was just like, yes, I love it. And especially because I love it when shows make women really badass. And this show does a great job at letting women have strength and power. And I love that about this show. All right, guys, now let's jump into our predictions. So I can't forget this because I do this all the time when we're talking in show and I think of a prediction. So I'm going to get this one out. My prediction, and this is just me having any semblance of light and hope after this whole necromancer situation. And I know that someone is going to correct me because I think that my thought process is wrong now that I'm working through it. But it's that when they finally figure out how to defeat the necromancer, my wish is that everyone that he has kind of either brought back to life or that he has kind of control over their souls, my hope is that they're going to be released. And upon their release, our super squad and all of our people at the Salvatore School will have a plan in place of how to almost capture their souls and be able to put them in their bodies so that way they can stay with us. So that's kind of my prediction, that they will figure out some way to sever the tie between the necromancer and the souls that he's there, thus keeping around Roth, Alyssa Chang, and Chad. Because kind of Chad would be kind of fun in the school after all of this.
He would be. All right. That's an interesting thought. And I hope that you're right, because that would also mean that Raph is not dead and there's still hope for his character.
Yep.
We keep using hope. Let's see. I wrote down some predictions. Alyssa and Raph, are they dead or coming back? So I think that kind of covers that. I hope that they're coming back. Sebastian, does this mean he's dead? Because now that they're starting a romance with MG, because the actor Thomas Doherty is doing other shows now, so yeah. I think he's gone, right?
No, I agree. I mean, we saw him come through the Malivore pit and then, right? Like, that was the last time we saw him. Technically, they left it up in the air. We don't know if he ever actually went through or not.
Right.
And then do they still have to merge? And if not, will Caroline come back now? Because she's only gone because of the merge. But are they done with the merge?
I don't know. I mean, we still have a long way to go because technically they're still merged in a way. It's just now Hope is in Josie's mind fighting essentially Lizzie's battle for her. At least that's how I see it. That's a really great question. I will say though that I don't think Caroline will come back, only because I feel like something would have leaked of her, like the actress Caroline, about her coming back if that was
sad. She should. But whatever. And then a lot of people in the chat today we're talking about Jade and how they want Jade to be the one to bring back Josie from Dark Josie. And they want to see Jade's reaction to Dark Josie. And I think that that could be interesting. I was never a huge shipper for the Jade and Josie thing, but it could be interesting. What do y'all think?
I mean, I would be here for that. I said that last week, that I would be here for Jade being the one to bring light Josie, I guess, back.
I think that I don't know that it will be Jade anymore. And the reason why is because they would be using her, they would have put her in this episode. Like, because we need to see that relationship more for it to pay off. And we haven't seen, we saw two episodes and it was the second one when we realized that they liked each other and that was all we've gotten. And so I don't know if the payoff's there, but we'll see.
And in reality, Jade was pretty freaked out by like their affection for one another anyways. But Michael, do you have any other predictions?
I think that my prediction is that the people who are under the thrall or the minions of the necromancer will die. I think that it's not going to be, it's going to be very emotional when it happens, but unless Malivore comes into play and does some Malivore magic to make them be alive again, because the whole agenda that the necromancer has is to bring Malivore back and control him. And I think that's ludicrous, and he's going to end up biting off more than he can chew, and it's going to be Malivore in conjunction with maybe Landon that ends up defeating the necromancer.
So you say that, and there's a lot of talk in the chat right now. You have Mr. S Class saying, my prediction is Haley,
what are you? I have a thought, and I'm trying not to forget it. Okay, keep going, though.
Okay. Mr. S Class said, my prediction is Landon is going to get thrown into Malivore, and the necromancer is going to attempt to control him, but I think Malivore is too powerful and will break free from the necromancer. And then Billie Jean Girl says, what if when the necromancer dies, all the people is brought back to life? And then Logan Knight said, I predict Landon's body is going to be taken over by Malivore, while Hope is going to be in Josie's mind trying to figure out how to wake her up, but it might be in the most cliche fairy tale way.
Which, I mean, we saw next week's episode is going to be based around Little Red Riding Hood and the Big Bad Wolf. Okay, so last thought here, because Michael just triggered it. I'm building on my Roth theory. I'm just writing his storyline for us so that way we can think that he's going to stay in the episode. So my thought, playing off of the fact that once the necromancer is dead, they're going to figure out how to keep everyone's souls in their bodies and keep the characters on the show. I also think, though, that when he comes back, because I'm on board that he's not a werewolf right now, that we're going to have to go through the journey of his character becoming just human again and kind of almost having a second chance. And if they were to write off his character, I would much rather them write him off that way of him leaving the show as a regular human and no longer being a werewolf, because we've seen how much he struggled with his werewolf side. Or I think that he could then end up becoming very much like what was his name from Vampire Diaries that never became super?
Oh, Matt.
There we go. Matt Donovan, who's the mayor of Mystic Falls right now. So I think he could kind of end up being like that. But that's it. We're all done with this show, guys. Thank you for joining us. You can tell we're really excited about where we're going to go from here. So with that, Shiksha, take it away. We'll wrap around with Michael, and then I'll sign us off, guys.
Thanks, guys, for watching. You can find me on all social media platforms at I Am Bolly Girl, where I post about the after shows that I'm on, as well as all kinds of weird Bollywood stuff. So check it out.
You can find me. What's happening? Are we still at?
Yes, you can sign us off. Where can I find you?
Oh, you can find me on all social media at Official Michael. That's Official MYKELL.
All right, guys. And I am Haley Graves. Thanks again for joining us. You can find me on Instagram, Haley Graves with two S's. That's HaleyGraveSS. And on Twitter, Haley1Graves2. We will see you right back here next week. Stay safe. Stay inside. Wash your hands, people.
Thanks, guys. Stay safe.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.